Chapter 22 here marks the end of a section which began in chapter 10, where we have been reading through the proverbs, the consecutively given proverbs from the beginning of chapter 10. Remember that in the opening nine chapters there were proverbs there, yes. There is also a narrative to the proverbs in the walking through the streets of the city, and as a way in which wisdom was being made known was by this illustration of walking through a city and hearing the voices of those who were in the market and calling out for attention, and folly is in the market and calling for attention. But we also find at the market there is a voice, wisdom as well, the voice of Lady Wisdom that speaks in the Proverbs. Then from chapter 10 to here and carrying on through here as well, the Proverbs, the sayings that we are used to when we're thinking of the book of Proverbs. Here then an end of a section, but then a continuation into similar themes as well from verse 17. We read there the introduction from verse 17 to 21 of a new section here in Proverbs that carries through to the end of, to chapter 24 and verse 22, followed by another series of sayings towards the end of that chapter. We see here that in chapter 22 and verse 20, have I not written for you 30 sayings of counsel and knowledge? So an introduction to 30 sayings, and perhaps in some translations of the Bible you might have each of those sayings marked, the first saying, the second saying, the third saying. I know certainly it's in some versions, at least of the New International Version, that each saying is marked off. Not necessarily the case in the ESV version that I have here. It doesn't have that. In another version of a study Bible that I have, it mentions the first, second, third sayings in the footnotes. But the different separations can be found in at least some of the translations. But anyway, the main thing about this set of 30 sayings that are given is that the purpose of it is described in verse 19, that your trust may be in the Lord. As we look at the chapter as a whole, and the book of Proverbs as a whole has that as its purpose. It takes it as its purpose here, and we see the relationship to the Lord shining through is of utmost importance. And everything, when everything has been considered, when all aspects of life are considered, the matter which is of utmost importance is your relationship to the Lord. And this is what the book of Proverbs is saying. This is what is of utmost importance to you, is the relationship that you have to the Lord. Verse 2, the rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. And this proverb is opening up, speaking to us of those that have wealth and those who are poor. And so both subjects are being opened up to us here. And this theme is discussed in several of the Proverbs in this chapter. But we see that While it may be that the world gives a projects an image that there is little or nothing that the poor and rich have in common, here what we are being told is not only is there something which the rich and poor both have in common, but there's something that the rich and poor both need, and that is the renewed relationship to the Lord. The Lord is the maker of them all, and as he is the maker of all, so all are held to account to him. All shall appear before the Lord, we read in chapter 29 and verse 31. I have the verse wrong. There, actually, it's a different verse from that one, but I can look back to chapter 14 and verse 31 there, and here the matter of care and concern for the poor is mentioned too, is in verse 31. Whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy overthrows him. The relationship to the Lord here then is brought to our immediate attention and highlighted as not only that which all were in need of, but also at the same time shown to us that this is a matter of utmost importance, of greater importance than riches or wealth, and a matter which is of and should be of concern to everybody, that the Lord is our maker, and the Lord is everybody's maker. All shall appear before him. And the fact that the rich and the poor meet together, and whereas what we observe in the world is separation of the rich and the poor, there is a day coming when all shall be assembled together, and we're told of it in the book of Revelation, that all stand before the throne of God, and the books, God's books, are brought out. All shall be there, and it speaks to us there of as the books are brought out, the first thing it then speaks to is of those who are not in the book of life and those who have rejected God, and no distinction is made between rich or poor. Whoever has rejected God, whoever has refused him, is sent into the eternity of hell, whereas those who are written in the book of life and those who are redeemed by the grace of God are brought into the heavenly courts and into heaven itself, into the eternity of blessedness, not for one's riches or poverty, but for the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And if we observe that the way the world goes is that there is a separation of the rich and the poor, the truth and the reality of what is set before us here in the scripture must have a bearing on our lives, must have a bearing on the church, that if it's the case that in the world the rich and poor are more and more being segregated from one another, riches buy space away from the poor. That this is, and if you observe all different aspects of society, you can see this more and more, less places where the rich are mingling with the poor. But the Bible speaks to us of how a day is before us when all are brought together. And so this is then to be seen then in the church, and is observed in the church, that while it may be in the world that the rich and poor, the rich and the poor are more and more separated from one another, if one is to come into a church, that they may be really struck by what they observe, that there's something happening in a church that we don't see elsewhere, and that is the rich and the poor sitting together. The rich and the poor sitting together. And happily so, for we have in common that the Lord is our Maker, and the rich and the poor in Christ have in common the bonds of the Lord Jesus Christ. So even in coming to church, there can be a sense of an otherworldliness in the church, and that's what it is. It's a way and a work of God which is unrecognizable to the world, where the world does one thing, but something else is happening in the church. The rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is Maker of them all. And for what is utmost here is not riches or poverty, but the Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our priority. He is the one we come to praise and exalt together with our neighbours. There are other verses here concerning the rich and poor. In verse 7, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is the slave of the lender. To go back to the previous verse that we looked at, when you look into Ephesians and Colossians, and there it gives instructions for the slave owners and how to treat their slaves and slaves to treat their slave owners. For they were in church together. They were in church together. 16. Whoever oppresses the poor to increase his own wealth or gives to the rich will only come to poverty. So there's a deceit that's unravelled, and this is again an evidence of God's sovereign hand and his governance over all things, these timeless proverbs that are given to us here. Verse 22, do not rob the poor because he is poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate. For the Lord will plead their cause and rob of life those who rob them. And then in 26 and 27, there are verses that, again, pick up the theme of wealth or poverty. Not to give pledges or security for debts if one cannot afford to do that. But not in all this, while the proverbs unravel and unfold the life that God seeks and works in us, utmost importance here is relationship to the Lord. And it's in that the qualities that are mentioned here, if we look at secondly, qualities that are described here in this chapter are raised, qualities such as in verse 11, purity of heart, the desire that God has for purity of heart and for gracious speech. There's a wonderful promise there. We'll have the king as his friend, and well, when we think of the king, we think of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a friend of sinners, and he comes to make his home with us and to bring about this change, inward change, inward internal transformation that works itself out as the Lord Jesus spoke of in the Beatitudes. He spoke of the same things, didn't he, in the Beatitudes? Purity of heart. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. He speaks here of those whose speech is gracious. And Jesus said in the Beatitudes, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. In other verses here, we have characteristics that are brought about in the wisdom here of prudence, humility, generosity. Another aspect of life and Christian life that is raised here in these verses is discipline or correction. In verse 15, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. Verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And then another aspect of correction or discipline in verse 10, drive out a scoffer and strife will go out, and quarrelling and abuse will cease. And we can say that why is that when the teaching of the Proverbs is followed, the consequences also follow. That's because God is governing. That's because God is governing, and because he is overseeing this world and overseeing his word. And we shall see that everything that is said here in the book of Proverbs is true. That God, under his rightful governance, will bring about his word as he has promised. Also in verse 12, an example of God's governance. For those who immerse themselves in the love and the knowledge of God and who devote themselves to God, we read what it says in verse 12, the eyes of the Lord keep watch over knowledge, but he overthrows the words of the traitor. God does that. He ensures it. He makes sure that happens. And then also in verse 14, another providence that is behind the scenes. God's working his providence is behind the scenes, but this is him working his providence. This is his governance. The mouth of forbidden women is a deep pit. And note who he says falls into it. It's he with whom the Lord is angry will fall into it. So we're given here, you can imagine the situation, but here we've been given, as it were, a little insight behind the heavenly veil, the curtain that we cannot see heaven, but we know God is in heaven. And he is working out his purposes on earth. And this is one example of it. The Proverbs lead us to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's the fourth verse that I'd like to draw attention to as we come to a close then this evening on this chapter. Verse 4. The reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honour and life. The reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honour and life. Philippians chapter 2. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. So there in those verses, what we're reading of is the promotion of this way that's described in the beginning of verse 4, a way of humility. And why is it that this is being promoted? It may be that many think it's promoted to put people down, but actually under the hand of God, it's promoted so that people will be exalted in the end. That the pit, that death would not be the end, but rather life, and the life that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. The reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honour and life. Back to Philippians chapter 2. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not account the quality of God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He humbled himself by becoming obedient even to the point of death on a cross. Proverbs 22:4 here, the reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honour and life. Back to Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We could say then, the purpose, the reason, the explanation for this way that is set before us to live by in Christ, the way of humility and fear of the Lord, which leads to riches and honour and life. Why? What for? For the glory of God, for the glory of the Father, for the glory of the Son. This way is to the eyes of the world folly, but to us it is the power of God unto salvation, the way of Christ, and the way of Christ that is set before us, and to seek it and to follow it and to live by it, and in dependence upon this great God that we have, who has paved this way for us to follow in the Lord Jesus. Well, let us have a time of prayer, shall we, just now.